Hugh Hefner, a true American icon, created an empire that was unrivaled.
Although some of us bunnies may have gone rogue, it's because of the love and respect that we received from the man behind it all.
Because after all, we did learn from the best.
Relive the stories from the most prominent celebrity home in history.
What happens in the grotto stays in the grotto.
From those of us that lived it,
the employees that worked it,
and the guests who loved it.
And
the mayhem continues.
And here we are, starting off once again, Rogue Bunnies Mayhem. We have the lovely Stephanie Heinrich, October 2001, correct?
That's right.
Yes.
And Series 3 Bunny coming out in Series 3.
That's exciting.
Yes. Very exciting.
Nice plug, Victoria. I like that.
Stephanie's another one that I worked on for a very, 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 very long time.
Well, you know, I'm sure that Stephanie liked being worked on for a very, 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 very long time. So for those that are just tuning in, of course, if you've been listening to Rogue Bunnies Mayhem, we thank you so much. But if you're just a new listener, what exactly are you talking about?
Regarding Stephanie?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the Rogue Bunnies, you know, I wanted to bring her into the fold of the Rogue Bunnies, and it took a long time. She was a little MIA on socials. She lives in another state, and she was a little MIA, so I couldn't get a hold of her. I searched for her for like a year. I finally got a hold of her, and then it took me like a year to like get to her or whatever.
Get your claws in.
Get my claws in. She's got way too many animals and so many things going on, so she's so busy with her nursing and everything, and I can't wait to talk about all the stuff that you're doing, because you've just made this whole big life with all these animals and farm and all this stuff around you. It's amazing.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
Well, totally two different worlds, right? I mean, we will be getting and delving into the mansion life and what that was like, but let's catch up with where you're at now.
Yeah. What are you up to?
Well, I currently live in North Georgia. A little town. But it's outside like the bigger city, probably like an hour from Atlanta. But I work, I'm actually a nurse, a registered nurse, a trauma nurse. So I work in the trauma center in one of the cities that's closer to where the little town I live in. So it's a trauma level 2. We get stuff that's flown in, like car accidents, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
And we fly stuff out depending on what it is.
Has anything ever come in? Has a person ever come in where you're just like, oh my, like it's just so hard to look at, or are you just so used to seeing everything now? Because me, I can't even look at a needle without fainting. I couldn't even imagine being a nurse, a trauma nurse. I would be so useless. So
yeah, it depends. I mean, we had a guy that came in that said that a toolbox fell on his foot, which a lot of times people come in with things stuck in different orifices and things like that. That's fine. And but his foot was, when we had to cut off his sock and his shoe, and his skin completely came off with his sock.
So he had like, oh man.
From a toolbox?
Yeah, that was scary.
Oh.
Well, what he says, but
you got to have a pretty strong stomach. I mean, my brother works in the ER, and I've talked to you about that, Stephanie, and especially back when the whole like, you know, COVID thing was going on and lockdowns and it's all the crazy stuff coming in. And my brother Jim would tell me all this stuff. I'm like, how do you deal with that? Like on an emotional level, you know?
Oh,
he would call me.
You have to tune it out.
And I'm like, how are you today, kid? And he goes, well, we didn't lose anyone, so it's a pretty good day. I'm like, just so nonchalant. I'm like, wow. It just,
it's life.
Especially when you're talking about babies being brought in. You all three of you ladies are mothers.
Yeah.
You know, so imagine. There's that emotional. And yet you got to keep your composure, like going, I got to get a job done and I got to protect these people.
Yeah, I can't hold myself together just watching shows on TV about people dying on The Good Doctor or something like that. I'm a mess. Like, how could I ever do it in real life? So amazing what you're doing, because that takes like a really strong person to be able to handle stuff like that.
Yeah, but the funny things are, people get things stuck in like different, you know.
Well, I wanted to go there. Like yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, what's the craziest thing?
I've seen x-rays from a doctor that worked in an ER, and he had one of Jimmy Van Patten's friends, and he showed us these x-rays, and there was like toy cars, a bottle, a pair of sunglasses. I mean, like the.
You're not saying Jimmy Van Patten had this.
No, no, it was his friend. No, no.
We just want to put that out there, Jimmy. No, Jimmy's a friend. You know what I mean?
No, it was his friend that's a doctor, and this was a while ago, and he had shown us like he's like, you're never gonna believe these X-rays, and I guess it's a thing. Like it happens like, quite a bit.
How bored do you have to be to do that?
It happens a lot, like, though, right, Stephanie? Like it happens.
What's the craziest thing you saw up there?
I mean, your butthole can get huge, apparently. Some of that. Like,
oh my god!
In there, and then it's a vacuum, so like you know, if you stick something in there, all of a sudden you get so far in there, it's like, and it's gone. It's
like, do that sound effect again.
It's
gone.
And then that's the same with those girls' coochie hole. If girls come in where they put stuff in their coochie hole and they put it in so far and there's nobody holding on to the other end, it's like it's a vacuum and it will suck it up. Like, and it's gone. And they'll come in and be like, I swear, I think it's in there. We're like, yeah, it's in there. Your coochie hole just sucked it up. It became a vacuum. So you got to be careful.
What's the weirdest item that you've ever found up someone's tuchus?
Oh my god. Well, okay, so this guy came in. This was in his ass. He said he had, can I say ass?
Yeah, you can say anything you want.
Okay, go for it.
So this guy came in and he pulled down his pants and he had a fake flower arrangement in his asshole. And he was like, I was like, oh my god. He's like, I know. I just thought it'd be funny if my boyfriend came home and I had like a flower arrangement in my ass. But he couldn't get it out because when he stuck it in, it went in all smooth. But when he came to try to pull it out, all the like, the leaves and the stems and all that shit like got caught. So he had to go in there surgically remove it.
Romance is not dead on him.
Whatever happened to like an edible arrangement or something?
God.
You know, like something nice.
Edible arrangement, yeah.
You know?
That's a fruity
asshole. I'll never get that image out of my head now. Oh, that's in my head forever.
It was a beautiful arrangement. But
Did you give it back to him or?
Did they? I don't know. I don't think they gave it back. I think he was like, I don't want that thing.
Oh, okay. Stephanie.
Though, I mean, if you're ever sticking anything in any kind of orifice, just remember you have to have like a string or something on it.
a life raft for your unmentionables.
So, Steph, I'm sure you've told it before, but for all our new audience listeners, can you kind of tell us, like, how did you get up at the mansion, how you were dating Hef?
Well, she was a cyber girl first.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did you become a cyber girl? How did you find out about that, and what was that story about?
Well, I was going to the University of Cincinnati, and then they had scouts come out for Girls at Conference USA back in 2000. And so then I went out for that, and I got a small little picture in October 2000 issue. And then from there, they called me 2 months later, or a month later. I went to Chicago to the Playboy headquarters out there, tested to be a Playmate. And then they flew me to LA to do GlamourCon to promote Cyber Girl. And they're like, this is a new thing. We just want to try it, blah, blah, blah. So would you be interested in trying it? And then plus I was meeting Hef out there and stuff because I had to do some stuff for the Centerfold or whatever too. So I got to meet Hef and everything. But yeah, that's how the Cyber Girl thing came about, which was really cool. So I got to tell Hef about it, you know, as well.
So you had already shot for Playmate and then they wanted you to be a Cyber Girl. So it wasn't like you were a Cyber Girl first and then you became Playmate. They just tried to...
gave my test pictures for Cyber Girl.
Got it.
Yeah. And they were like, well, we're just going to try it out. We don't really know, you know, what we're going to make, what we're going to do with it. But we just know that it's, you know, that we're going to try to take it towards, you know, the internet. So that's why it was like all brand new.
Yeah. They're trying to make more content. Yeah.
What was that experience like? Say like did you tell your family you were doing this? I'm always curious, like, what are the like parents think, or do you have like that, you know, aunt or uncle that is like, you got to kind of try to hide it from them, or all pretty open and all cool?
Oh, yeah, Stephanie's like, nah.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, my parents are, you know, we're from the Midwest. So they're like, yeah, we had made, you know, special issues, you know, with the black tape over the coochie and the boobies and all that stuff. So everybody
the
could
daddy
see
issue.
It.
Called the daddy issue.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have that, Jen? Did you have a daddy issue?
I don't believe I gave my parents a copy of my magazine. They may have purchased one, but kept it in, or maybe it came in the mail and they kept it in the sleeve just to like have it. But I still have friends that have theirs that never opened it either, because it opens like the next door of like knowing someone.
Yeah. So, yeah, it does. You know?
I think they're freaking lying to you. They've all looked through the damn thing.
No, there's a couple.
Brett's over there nodding his head. He's like,
yeah. You can Google it now.
Right? Come on. It's sitting there on the, they look through.
Well, everybody's Googleable now. So that's at that time we were not Googleable.
That's always weird. Have you ever done that? Have you ever tried to Google yourself?
I do it all the time.
See where you guys, because I'm so unfortunate. Yeah. Sometimes it'll take.
I do it because I don't know, like when I meet new mom friends at school, and once they find out, I know that's the first thing they're going to do is go Google me. So I want to know what's actually coming up.
Smart.
So I can either like, you know, have that storyline where it's like, yeah, so that's not me. They sold my picture. You know what I mean? I just want to see what comes up.
Well, mine is Victoria Fuller from The Bachelor has taken up a lot of real estate on Google. Before it gets to me, it's all her. Maybe someone sent her an avocado tree.
Check this out, Stephanie. We get a text from Victoria yesterday. Literally yesterday, she's all... Uh-huh. Somebody sent me an avocado tree.
Someone sent me a gift. I didn't want to say what it was, so someone didn't claim it. I went to our community in our Discord, asked all the VIPs. Nobody knows. I was not telling them what it was, so someone didn't go, oh, yeah, I got you that. I'm like, well, what is it? So I didn't tell anybody, but it's weird. I can't figure out who did it. I thought maybe even Deanna Brooks. She even said to me last night, she goes, well, maybe I did. Maybe I forgot. She goes, no, I checked. I didn't do it.
But so, where does an avocado tree live? In your house?
Yeah, it's a baby avocado tree. You're supposed to plant it in the ground right away, which obviously I'm not going to do that in my apartment, but I'm going to get it in a planter and put it out, you know, where it can get sun and stuff. But it's, you know, it's as tall as me.
I was hoping for fresh guacamole, Victoria.
I know. Well, it's not there yet. It's going
to
take
a minute. Think of how much money you'll save every year if you eat one a day.
Well, the problem is that it could be a female tree that needs a male and a female in order to pollinate, like peach trees. So you need two. So, this may not produce fruit. We'll see.
So they got sex.
I don't think they actually have sex. I think the hummingbird comes around. The
bumblebee. Put them in a room with some bees and just let nature take its course.
But then you need something from that one. Okay.
Wait, well, they could be having sex like under the ground. Like that's their roots get together and maybe they have like a root dick and a root vagina and they go to town. I mean, I don't freaking know.
What is going on?
That's the root of things.
This show has taken a turn. All right, back to the mansion.
Back
to the mansion days. So yeah,
I mean it's early for them too. Like this is a little early to be like already on this line.
I'm just kind of curious.
Here we are.
So we're always here trying to teach our audience. You're a cyber girl. You're playmate. When did that meld? I mean, obviously you're explaining it to Hef, and you're telling him about cyber girl. But when did that become you two like dating? Like when did you become a girlfriend?
It was like we all went out to a club and then it was like maybe 2 days later or something like that. He asked me if I wanted to live there. And then I was like, I don't know. I was kind of scared, you know, because I was a young girl from Ohio. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And nothing to do with him or anything. It was just the fact of moving away from, you know, and it was because it's totally different lifestyle. And then so I ended up, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm going to come out there. And so then I ended up, you know, moving out there and I lived there for a year.
Who were you in company with when you were living in the mansion?
Was that the 7 or was that the 9?
I didn't know there was 9.
Buffy was there for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Buffy Tyler.
Yeah.
There was Katie Lohman.
Oh, Katie Lohman. Oh, yeah.
There was a girl named Regina that was never a playmate.
No, and she did that horrible thing.
What horrible thing?
She ran off with Tommy Lee and then stole some of Hef's clothing and was going to sell it and got caught. And she came to the Rock and was like, hi. And they're like, sorry, you need to pick up your stuff from the back gate. They wouldn't even let her up. They were on to her. The other girls ratted her out or something.
Which is very hard to do because we check everything in and out. You know, so that's a hell of a feat to be able to get away with.
Yeah, well, she didn't.
Yeah, because I think Joe Piastro caught her, I think.
Yeah.
I miss Joe.
Aw, Joe.
I know, I do too.
What was the experience like being out, like traveling with Hef?
It was fun. I mean, you know, you got to party and, you know, you always got, you know, the best of the best. And you always were late. So no matter how drunk you got, you know, you always knew, you know, even if you blacked out and you're throwing up all over yourself and shit in your pants, you always knew you were going to get home safe.
You can't put a price on that.
Let's take a quick break, Stephanie. We're going to keep talking about the wildlife at the mansion, and I'm hoping that we'll get into some Mary stories. We might have to do a part two here.
Might have to.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We are Rogue Bunnies Mayhem.
Did you miss out on the first two Rogue Bunnies trading card drops? Don't let that happen again. Series 3 digital trading cards will be dropping very soon, and we have brand new gorgeous Rogue Bunnies to collect. Want more details? Make sure to join our Discord for the most up-to-date announcements. You can go to roguebunnies.com to find our official links. In the meantime, get your Dapper wallet ready to collect Rogue Bunnies Series 3 packs. And the mayhem continues.
Welcome to the metaverse!
This is your girl, Nikki Lee, Miss May 2012. Thanks for tuning in to Rogue Bunnies Mayhem. Be sure to keep an eye out for my Rogue Bunnies Series 3 NFT trading card drop. You want more details? Visit roguebunnies.com and follow us on social media for updates. And the mayhem continues.
No, I puked before, you know, like right in front of Hef. I think he actually had to hold my hair out. And then I think, who was it? Jennifer Welcott, maybe, I think, threw up in the ice bucket in the limo. And then threw the whole ice bucket out the window in the limo. And then security, because you'd have security following the limo, had to like stop and go back and get the ice bucket.
You know, the beautiful part, Brett, is that we were recording that whole time. That's literally how we came back into the segment. So thank you, Stephanie. We're keeping that in there. That was awesome.
Now we got to have Jen Walcott on.
But see, what's cool is that you're kind of explaining, though, how, you know, the boss, and you always had security, you had Joe Piastro. I think probably Mark McCaleb was probably with you guys. You were very well protected. You ladies knew mm-hmm. that, you know, you're out and about. I mean, there was always paparazzi. It was nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're talking 2001, 2002, I mean, you know, the boss had just come back out. You guys were going to Cannes film festivals. You were going to all these big, what is it, soirees, I guess, you know, award shows, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, you guys were, that was when Hef was going out a lot.
Yeah, we went to the Vanity Fair party, which was cool. Danced with Jennifer Lopez on the dance floor for a second. I mean, I don't really think she knew we were like dancing together, but like I thought we were.
You were dancing with her.
Yeah, like kind of near her, you know. And but yeah, then we went to where the Blow premiere for Johnny Depp, that movie. I don't know. We went to everything. I mean, gosh.
See, I always thought that your era, Stephanie, like when with all those girls, like, you know, Tita mm-hmm. Jordan and all those days, I wish we had the reality show back then.
Yeah, that was fun.
Because it wasn't like, hey, we got to come up with something to film or let's come up with something to film. There always was something. You guys were always going mm-hmm. to something.
Yeah, you didn't have to create content. Yeah, correct. It was constant, you guys.
Plus, it was kind of cool the way, I mean, I thought you girls were fun.
And I mean, we would always, I don't know, we are just always, you know, and then we would always have the new, like, playmates, you know, our girls testing that would come into town and then just meeting people and just, you know, and showing them a good time and stuff like that. So it was just always fun. I remember one time we came back and I remember we were swimming in the fountain in the front of the mansion.
Yeah, right there in the front circle.
I remember Hef was hanging out his window and he's like, what the hell are you guys doing? He thought we were going to come back.
That's cold.
He made me stand out there with us because he thought I don't think he knew how deep the fountain was. I don't know, but we were like, it's not even that deep.
But that was so much fun for the butlers. I mean, the butlers would always tell me, he goes, oh, you should have seen last night. Oh my God. And then the girls were jumping in the fountain. I mean, DeAndre, Jameson. all those guys, Darren, all the guys are doing Graveyard. They had a blast. It was fun.
It was so much fun.
What happened when you left the mansion? You went on to do your nursing. You decided you wanted to move. Because I know you left on really good terms. It wasn't like, get out, I hate you. It was, you went on to other things.
You know, I mean, it had been a year and I wanted to do more like promotional work for Playboy and travel, you know, as a playmate. So I just, it was just time for me to like venture out, have my freedom.
So I know a lot of people are putting out things like books and a lot of bullshit, in my opinion, because I have to say in my opinion, right? Because that's their opinion. Sure. But you've been outspoken about your experiences and outspoken about others who have you felt were probably not telling full truths. You put out a letter, I believe, that people, such we're not gonna, we're, I mean, this show is not about putting that kind of stuff out there. I mean, we want people to really talk about all the fun, crazy stuff that we had. But the fact is that, you know, we are opposed to a lot of the negative stuff that has been put out there, because not because someone is telling their truth, but because that's not honesty. I mean, that's why it's fun when we talk to you, Stephanie, and we've talked to others about what was it like to date half? What was it like living with a bunch of other girls? What was the experience for you? Did you ever feel trapped?
No, never.
I feel like if she felt trapped, she would be the first one to say
honestly.
But that's what's cool. I mean, I obviously never saw a negative side from being there and from the butlers. They would have told me, oh my gosh, this is horrible. But it was just a big fun party. And I'm just bringing this up for listeners that are questioning. Cause you know, there are some fan pages out there that are like, oh, well, you know, Rogue Bunnies Mayhem, they won't tell the truth and they're too afraid to put out all this negative. And I want to just go, hey, ass wipes. The fact is there's like five or six people trying to get some money making up this negative shit. Why don't you listen to the other 100 people that have great stories? And so that's why, right, Stephanie, I'm bringing up, putting the focus on you, is like, share your stuff with everyone that's listening. Like what it was like to date half. What was he like as a personal person, you know, one-on-one?
A personal person?
A personal person, yeah. But you know what I mean? I mean, like you got to know him on a one-on-one.
Yeah, and he adored you.
Oh yeah, Hef was like, he was caring. Of course, you had rules and shit to follow. You were living in this house. I mean, you had to follow rules. I mean, but they weren't crazy rules. It was just like, you know, I mean, not like rules, but like, you know, I mean,
come to dinner,
stay out all night without telling them where you were going and stuff like that. But that's just like normal shit. I mean, Hef would sit down and talk to you about stuff. Like if you had like an issue with something or something, I don't know. I'm just trying to think. Fuck, I don't know.
But you know, it's cool that you brought up like the rules, right? That's always been a topic of controversy. We had Audra Lynn on and we did a show with her and she was explaining how the boss did have a certain curfew set up because he wanted to protect you ladies. And, you know, he was on a list for kidnapping. And top so 10. If you girls were out there and known, because like you're doing all these events, it's like, oh my God, there's Stephanie Heinrich. And look at, she's out here
by herself.
And by herself, you know, I understand why you would have some kind of curfew. But does it seem odd to all you ladies? I mean, seriously, I mean, if you're dating some guys, it's too weird for a boyfriend to say, hey, just be home by this certain time so we can have our alone time. And at the same time, I'd like to know that you're home and safe. Is that so bad?
I feel like if you were dating anyone that was notable and you were a kidnapping threat, they would have security detail or whatever to protect you as well. I mean, you watch mob movies, they go for the family first, right? To get to the person. So why wouldn't they take an opportunity to grab one of the girls if they were out late? They're probably out. Because if you're out late, you're probably drinking, you know, you're not thinking straight. And he was just trying to make sure everybody was, you know, safe and he knew where they were when he went to sleep, which is probably
I feel like Hef set up a life really early on and had what he likes and how he likes it. And people that he invited into his life, he said, I mean, you can confirm this, Stephanie, this is what I want. This is what I want to give you. Are you good with this? If you're not, okay. But if you are, let's have fun, right? Is that kind of?
Oh yeah. He Yeah.
Hef was very transparent about what his expectations were and what he was willing, what he was available for and what he was available to give, and very transparent about the relationship when he started them with the girls, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was like, basically like he would tell you straight up, like, this is not a one-on-one relationship, and you know, this is how it is. And I might have a girl up here on Sunday, fun in the Sunday, that you don't know. And that did happen, but you knew what you were getting into the first night. I mean, come on. I mean, it's not, you know what the hell you're getting into. Don't act like you don't know. I mean, come on. Are you?
Well, see, I like
Stephanie was like 19 years old and she still knew what was going on.
But here's the difference of Stephanie compared to so many that are like trying to talk trash is she's taking ownership and saying, look, I know what I was getting into.
Yeah.
She's not all of a sudden coming up with all these trauma stories and you know, oh my gosh, what did I do?
Well, she wasn't trying to change anybody. She was just like, okay, sure. Yeah. Let's be friends and like, let's have a fun time and like, whatever.
And it also seems like at a certain point in her life, she realized she had gotten what she needed to get out of it and wanted to do more things in life. And you moved on and did those things, you know? So
What was that conversation like when you told Hef, I'm going to move on out and explore other things in my life?
I mean, he was, you know, like, oh, but he understood. I mean, he was like, okay, you know, and he's like, you can come up here anytime and all that stuff. And we stayed, you know, close and friends and, you know, I was close with Mary and everybody. And so, I mean, it didn't change anything. I just didn't love them. But I mean, he was fine with it. He didn't yell at me or anything like that. You know, it was like, okay, you know, the door's always open.
And you still stayed close.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to wrap this up. Stephanie, we're going to keep you because I know we're going into a part two because I want to talk about Mary.
Let's talk about Mary.
Something about Mary. But we're going to wrap this up. We have been having a blast here with Stephanie Heinrich. Thank you. This October 2001. And tune in next week, part two. I'm Brian Alea.
I'm Victoria Fuller.
Jennifer Pershing.
And the mayhem continues.
Am I super loud?
Hey, Mayhem Familia, don't forget to click, like, and subscribe, and tell all your friends.
Also, visit us at rbmayhemshow.com. That's rbmayhemshow.com.
And I want to give a special thanks to Dapper Labs, Flow, Gig Labs, and also Flow Score. And
the Mayhem continues!